Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's happening at Precision Inc. and PPI? Let's go in-depth with President Roger Brown. Roger, I noticed a new sign on the building. I guess I hadn't driven by in a while. It used to say PPI. Now it says Precision Inc. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we're really trying to get the word out ever since we started a food division. Everybody knows us here in this area, especially as PPI in our industrial side of the business that does the pulleys and idlers. But about a year and a half, 2 years ago, we actually formed a food division, which is PFI, which is Precision Food Innovations. The reason we did that was because we acquired a couple companies that basically produce conveyors for the food processing industry. So they're completely stainless steel, only used in the food industry. And it was really a philosophy and a strategy as a company that we developed. We kind of wanted to diversify. We didn't want to just be in pulleys and idlers. So as we were going to grow, strategically, we felt like we had to diversify. When we did the first acquisition, we kind of just moved forward as PPI. What we decided later on was if we were going to really get into this as a strategy, we needed to really look at a food division. And then when we made the second acquisition of Meyer Industries down in San Antonio, it really became evident to us we had to run a separate division. Totally different product line, totally different market. They both go to markets differently, so we really need to set up a separate division. So when we created PFI, then we decided, okay, we now have two distinct divisions. We have Precision Pulley and Idler and Precision Food Innovations, so they now became divisions under Precision Inc. And here at in Pella, in this corporate building, we have both PPI folks and PFI folks. So we decided to make the change, and we're trying to get the word out, and I appreciate you coming by to talk about it, that as a corporation, we're actually Precision Inc., and then we have two divisions, PPI and PFI.
So are the buildings going to be labeled according to that? But you're all together, so you're just switching to Precision, I bet.
Yeah, here at this corporate building, we're just switching to Precision because we have both. There are no PFI plants or division buildings here in Pella, so we don't have to make that distinction. But if you look across the street with the new office building we put up about a year ago, it's labeled as PPI because it's PPI's technology center. It doesn't have any people from PFI in it. It deals strictly with PPI engineering and technology.
Can you tell us a little bit about, well, first, I have to back up a second, and for listeners that aren't sure about the terminology, can you define pulley and idler for them?
Yeah, basically, if what we do, what I try and tell folks is we make components that run conveyor systems around the world. So if you look at a large conveyor system, really what drives the conveyor system and what drives the belt is a pulley. There's a pulley that drives it, and there's a take-up pulley on the end. And then as the belt rides along any distance that you're talking about, as it's carrying the weight and returning, it basically rides on idlers, which are basically real small pulleys or just round objects that spin and carry the weight of the belt. So what we tell folks is we just do the components of a conveyor, which is just the pulleys and the idlers.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Roger Brown, president of Precision Inc. Okay, and you're a worldwide, well, international corporation is the best way to put it. Tell us about that.
We're international in that we have actual operations. We own a company in Vancouver, Canada. So we have operations in Canada. And we also have an operation and a company in Santiago, Chile. So we do have international presence everywhere. We recently opened up a service center in Chihuahua, Mexico. So really our presence, what I tell folks is our physical presence is in North America, Central America, and South America. But we do sell worldwide. We've sold in just about every country you can think of worldwide. So we are an international worldwide company in that we sell worldwide. I'm not sure there's a country we haven't sold into.
Is there any way of measuring what proportion of the market share you have in terms of of, you know, these kinds of technologies?
The only one that we can track really well is in North America on the Pulley and Idler side. We're part of a manufacturing association called SEMA. And based on those numbers, we're number one in both pulleys and idlers in all of North America. So we know that for sure. We know we're one of the big players worldwide, but it's really tough to find data in South America and Central America especially.
Mm-hmm. And how many employees?
Well, that's interesting you asked that question, because we just celebrated about probably a month or two ago. We had just gone over the 1,000 employee owners, which was a pretty big milestone for us. And we're pretty happy to celebrate that a couple months ago.
1,000,
which truthfully, I've been here almost 20 years, and I never thought that would happen.
Now, you had an interesting term there, employee owners. I mean, just inherently, people have to like hearing that. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
I
love talking about it, because it really distinguishes us from a lot of other companies in the United States and around the world. We're an ESOP company, which stands for Employee Stock Ownership Plan. So basically, our employees own 100% of our company. They're the only stockholders in our company. You can get a lot technical about it, but basically, the former owners decided they were going to retire and they wanted to sell the company. They wanted to keep it in Pella. They wanted to maintain that. So luckily for us and all of our organization, they decided to start an ESOP and sell the company to the ESOP. So basically, we are 100% owned by all our employees.
Well, that's been interesting. Over the years, a couple of times, I think that I've seen, maybe it was Senator Grassley or Senator Ernst, and I know Representative Lobsack. I've seen Governor Reynolds. But I mean, and what you've done in each of those situations is you put employee owners in front of them, and that you gave them a voice to our elected leaders.
Yeah, we're very, very big proponents of the ESOP and what that means to folks. We think it really is the way to go from a retirement perspective, and it really means a lot to our organization. As we tell anybody, the real plus in an ESOP company is everyone has skin in the game. So everyone's retirement is affected, so they really care about what happens and how the company does and how we progress. What we've tried to do with all the politicians and anybody we can is to get them to understand what an ESOP means, the impact an ESOP can have on our people and our company and the communities, and why that is such a good idea, because there is ESOP legislation that does exist, and we try and get as many politicians as we can to sign and back that legislation, because we think this is a great way for people in their retirement, and it's a great way for companies to exist. I will tell folks, you probably heard for years and years and years, everybody talks about the redistribution of wealth. I will tell you, this is the exact perfect method of redistribution of wealth, to get the employees to own part of the company. The biggest plus for our employees is they don't pay for it. You don't have to pay for the shares that get allocated to you. So that's a huge plus. And those shares hopefully will grow every year. They'll grow in value every year. And you can directly contribute to that.
And so as the company goes, so does my retirement.
Yeah, and I will very much point out to everybody, if we don't have a good year, then the share value may go down. Hopefully it goes up every year, and we try and keep it that way. Our strategy, obviously, is to grow it and grow everybody's retirement, because that's what it is. It's a retirement plan. But the big thing for everybody to understand, I think all our folks do, is it's a retirement plan for everyone that's in it. So it's a retirement plan for me, as I'm the president and CEO, but it's a retirement plan for everyone in our organization that has now more than 1,000 people.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Roger Brown, president of Precision Inc. And so then what happens is they're freer to share their good ideas. Does that happen? Rather than sort of, I have to come to work and I don't necessarily like it and
That's what we really push, and that's what you hope for, that as somebody feels like they're really a part of the organization, that you're working for yourself and you're working for the guy that's standing next to you or the gal that's sitting next to you, that you're more willing to speak up, you're willing to contribute to the ideas. You feel, hopefully, that we feel more receptive to that because we're all going to benefit from that. It's not just going to be an individual or one department. It's going to be our whole company that benefits from those ideas. And hopefully it leads to a more open environment and a more open culture.
Well, one of the things that we've talked about before is investing in the communities. And this makes perfect sense given, you know, what you've just said about employee ownership. You want people to innovate and be creative and invest in the business itself. So then you're turning around and then investing in the community. So it's a whole another way of looking at things and making your employees better off, the community better off.
Absolutely. We kind of made a philosophical change probably 5, 6, 7 years ago. We've always been a charitable organization, and we like to contribute to the right organizations. What we decided to do a number of years ago was, as we became 100% employee-owned, it made more sense that that giving really have an impact on where our folks live and work. So we kind of made a change of, we don't really give to a lot of national organizations per se, and not that they're not bad, they're great organizations, they do a lot of good. But we felt it was more necessary that we do it in the areas that we work and live, especially as employee owners. Since it's our company, we might as well impact and affect the people that we work with and live with and help in those communities. So we've really tried to stress, as far as a giving and a contribution aspect, that we really impact the areas that our folks will get impacted.
And so if you've got somebody that you want to come and work and they look in at the communities that you work in part you're helping create that environment that might want them to move there.
Hopefully they'll see that, and hopefully word gets out as we do some of that, that they realize we're not just a company that sits there and is worried about making money and that's all we care about, but we do care about giving back to the communities. And hopefully, even if they haven't been directly impacted, they've seen the impact of some of the things that we've done, and they've been able to see that more clearly because it's been in their backyard or in their neighborhood or their town.
One gift that I'd appreciate if you talk about briefly is the support for scholarships and campus updates. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we've been a partner with Central College and the community with Pella High and Pella Christian for a long time. We're real big advocates, obviously, about education. We need a lot of educated people. We think everybody needs to go that route. But we also need to make sure that people have other areas of interest, things that they can do. So whether it's in sports or it's in extracurricular activities, it's in band or something like that, we like supporting the educational system. So we've done a lot with Central and Pella High and Pella Christian. And I think a lot of people have seen us. We've actually became known probably as the scoreboard company. Because we've put a lot of scoreboards in the local high schools and at Central College. And we really do that. We know those scoreboards in reality aren't going to sell a pulley or an idler or a conveyor system, not in the communities that we're in directly. But it does impact the schools and the community and the fans. You know, in Central's case, you know, hopefully it helps them recruit more kids. It gets more kids to go to Central. It keeps them up to date. But I also tell folks I love the fact that I have parents that see it. They see their kid up on the scoreboard or they see their kid being announced, and that's what they love. And they love seeing that. So they want their kid to be involved. They want them to participate in sports and things like that. So we really feel like that's an avenue that we've been able to give back. We need people. Everybody needs people. The best thing we can do is start to get people to realize who we are and what we do in high school and college, you know, so that they'll think about us as an opportunity once they get to the point that they're looking for a career.
They see your investment in the community and they think maybe you'll invest in them and they can invest in the company.
Absolutely. That's what we feel like. We hope we're giving the right impression to the communities and the areas that we live and work. And hopefully people will see that as a real positive and really look at us as a company, you know, a company that they want to work for.
So what's the future look like? Any plans you can share, vision, ideas?
We probably need to talk a few weeks from now. There's a few things we have going on as far as expanding our business. One of the things that just happened recently is we're expanding our operation in Chile. We have two plants now in Chile, and we're actually going to add a third plant because the business is growing, and we see the growth there. We actually just purchased a plot of land to build that facility, and that should be starting sometime probably in the next 3 to 6 months. We start that building process to expand that operation. We're always looking to expand and to grow our business because that's what helps grow the share value. So we're always doing that. We're hoping to expand more, and more growth is coming down the line.
Thanks to Roger Brown for contributing to the program.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in-depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.